Prepare to have your health questions answered here on Safe, Effective, Natural Solutions with Dr. Todd Binkley, owner of Binkley Healing Center in downtown Ventura. Now, here's Dr. Todd.
Good afternoon. I'm Dr. Todd Binkley, board-certified doctor of non-force chiropractic and practitioner of functional medicine. Functional medicine means using standard diagnostic tests to identify conditions that often get overlooked by the standard practice of medicine because most doctors don't order these tests unless there's a compelling reason for it, and usually there isn't. So, for example, I'm going to talk a little bit later about a man in his 60s that came in with low energy and sleep problems, which I was able to help him with, and he came back a few months later with a horrible rash covering his entire neck and back and arms and hands, and he'd been to several other doctors and nobody was helping him. So we'll come back to that. Last week, I was talking about synergistic toxins when we ran out of time. Synergistic, usually the context of that word comes up with to do with synergistic nutrients. So, for example, all nutrients, the nutrients in food, the nutrients in supplements, work not in isolation like drugs and chemicals, but they work in combinations, synergistically. Synergistic means things that work together, work in combinations. But toxins also can do damage together in combinations, much worse than those things do on their own. And that's what this evolving term, relatively new term, is new to me. It's being used in the literature, but it's fairly new. Synergistic toxins, synergistic toxicity, is when the combined effect of multiple chemicals is more harmful than the sum of the effects of each chemical alone. So I'm going to say that again. Synergistic toxicity is when the combined effect of multiple chemicals is more harmful than the sum of the effects of each chemical alone. So chemicals that we're exposed to, 350,000 of them, I think, are in circulation currently. They're supposedly tested. Many of them are tested, but all of them, when tested, are tested in usually a relatively healthy population and one at a time, always one at a time. And this can be dangerous because chemicals are designed to work on their own, but when they're tested all by themselves, then you have no idea what the effect is in real life on a person who may not be perfectly healthy. And a person like all of us who are constantly exposed to thousands of chemicals all at once, never just one at a time. So these toxins can be damaging to the liver, cause mitochondrial damage. They can cause oxidative stress. That's the stress that we're trying to alleviate when we take antioxidants, like all the antioxidant nutrients in fruits, some vegetables. Toxins also drive inflammatory responses throughout the body, exacerbate all kinds of conditions, heart disease, cancer, skin conditions, allergies. And science, the study of these effects, is relatively new. It is an emerging science. An article published a little over a year ago in a toxicology journal called Current Opinion in Toxicology found that the prevailing assumption that if you know the presumably mild toxic effects of chemical A and the effects of chemical B, you simply add those to predict or estimate the toxic effects of combining them. And it kind of makes sense. If this toxin is relatively mild and this one over here is also relatively mild, then you should still be okay even if you're exposed to both of them because they're both relatively mild. And that is not a safe assumption in many, many cases. So there's not enough data to document. Well, there's only enough data to document a few of those so far, but more and more are being identified as we go. And so, for example, this found that assumption that the effects of the toxic effects of certain chemicals are additive, that if you just know the effects of one, you know the effects of another, you can just add them together to get an estimate of how toxic both would be in combination. They found that this is dangerously erroneous. The magnitude of synergistic effects of taking chemicals can be up to 100-fold. In other words, the physiological effects of combining exposure to two known toxins can be 100 times worse than what might have been predicted by simply adding the two known effects together. So there's little literature available with the specifics currently. This paper outlines numerous reasons to suggest that the limited data that is available suggests that the frequency and likelihood of synergies from combined toxins in real-world situations is much worse than people often assume. So the introduction states, all living systems, including humans, are sequentially and simultaneously exposed to complex mixtures of chemicals. So sequentially and simultaneously. So we're all exposed to many, many chemicals over time and all at the same time. And there's over 350,000 man-made chemicals and mixtures of chemicals that have been registered for production and use, and the myriad byproducts, metabolites, and transformation products are not included in that figure. So in other words, there's 350,000 registered chemicals, and those have myriad byproducts, metabolites, and transformation products that they undergo in their various uses and the ways that we're exposed to them, and they're not included in that figure. The article goes on to state, the scientific understanding of mixture effects has advanced in recent years, as has the development of methods to assess risks from combined exposures. Nonetheless, the almost infinite number of real-life mixtures poses major challenges for investigations of all possible exposure scenarios through mixture and component-based approaches. So I know this is getting kind of technical. Regulatory systems were designed to address single substances through different jurisdictions, often aligned with specific uses, applications, or processes, rather than co-exposure to multiple chemicals regulated under different legislative silos. Still awake? So I know that it's necessarily kind of technical to discuss some of this stuff, but the mechanisms they use to analyze available studies identify combinations of various toxins, and among these are the synergistic potential of combinations of triazine, pyrethroid pesticides in environmentally relevant doses, and they were surprised to find synergisms in endocrine disrupting chemicals such as phthalates, particularly those that disrupt testosterone. They also found synergisms at low doses for mixtures of organophosphate pesticides, thyroid disrupting chemicals, and carcinogenic solvents. So mostly this paper is demonstrating that the hundreds of studies that are commonly cited to suggest that these chemicals are mostly safe and don't have synergistic effects are totally inadequate to back up those assertions. The studies are so poorly designed to even identify the effects of combining toxins that they simply shouldn't be allowed to make the claims that they make. Another known phenomenon in chemistry, which is only beginning to be studied in environmental exposures, is potentiation. Potentiation, where a supposedly inert substance combines with a known mild toxin to make it much more toxic than previous thought. Additionally, living organisms during their lifetimes must often cope with environmental stress, which is different than the optimal conditions used in ecological experimental settings. So a review of over 150 studies covering stressors like heat, cold, desiccation, oxygen depletion, and exposure to pathogens and immune-compromising factors, combined with a variety of environmental pollutants, revealed that synergistic interactions between the effects of various natural stressors and toxicants were reported in more than 50% of the available studies. So basically they're saying that, you know, living human beings have stressors that make us more susceptible at various times due to various forms of stress to any kind of chemical exposure. And they found indications of that in some of these studies, but more data is needed. So their politely worded conclusion is, quote, based on the evidence available to date, assumptions that center interactions in real-life mixtures are rare, and their likelihood being therefore negligible appears to be premature. Said in plain English, we have no idea how all the chemicals we're bombarded with interact with one another. And the few studies that have been done on individual chemicals are in and of themselves inadequate by design to give us any reasonable comfort in their safety, because they totally ignore the very real-world synergistic effects of combining chemicals in a living human being, as well as the various stressors that can make one human being more susceptible to the effects of these chemicals than another. So the takeaway is to protect ourselves. Spend $200 or $300 getting a urine test to measure the toxins that you've been exposed to. So I do these on hundreds of patients over the years. A lot of the results of these types of tests enable me to recommend various things that you can do to help your body safely flush out the chemicals you've been exposed to. And to be honest, the other benefit of doing the test is it'll motivate you to do the things that you need. Because once you've seen the data, you see it printed on the test results, then, oh my God, where did that come from? People are always surprised by the results. I'm never surprised. Anytime I do these tests, no one ever comes up perfectly clean. We're all exposed to this stuff. But nonetheless, anytime I do tests for toxins, be it chemical toxins, pesticides, fertilizers, mold toxins, heavy metal toxins, which can be done with a urine test or a hair test, people are always surprised at the results. Oh my God, where did that come from? Well, they're ubiquitous in the environment. You can never completely avoid exposure to these things. But exposure does vary. Your genetic ability to naturally flush these things out varies a lot. So two people side by side in the same household, same genes, family members, whatever, can be exposed to the same level of a certain combination of toxins and have totally different experience because one is genetically better equipped to flush those things out. One is getting more nutrients, a better diet, a better exercise, to sweat. Sweat helps you excrete toxins. There are a whole host of factors that determine how badly you've been exposed to these various things and how equipped you are to safely, efficiently flush them out all the time. So that's what the testing will do, show you where you are now and identify some things that you can do to help flush out the burden of things that you're carrying around. And invariably, you feel better. People report increased energy, mental clarity, and focus. You know, your brain is the most sensitive organ to any toxin or nutrient deficiency anywhere in your body. So it's good for anybody to get tested for toxins, heavy metals, chemicals, pesticides, fertilizers, mold toxins. And taking things like binding agents, chlorella, a blue-green algae, something called modified citrus pectin. These are among the things, as well as just getting good source of minerals in general in your diet. Chlorella in and of itself is a good source of minerals, but so is eating dark green leafy vegetables like spinach and broccoli and kale. And combine this with clean, filtered drinking water. Clean fruits and vegetables in your diet can help you remove and ongoingly cope with the chemicals we're all inevitably bombarded with. I'm Dr. Todd Binkley. You're listening to Safe, Effective, Natural Solutions to Almost Any Health Challenge. Last week, I finished the show talking briefly about the Dirty Dozen, fruits and vegetables in the Clean 15. These are lists of fruits and vegetables that have been tested for the most and least amount of a number of known pesticides on them. These lists are published by the Environmental Working Group in the U.S., EWG.org. But a similar program in the United Kingdom does it slightly differently. It's called the Pesticide Action Network, or PAN-UK, and it has a really well-done website for helping people understand and the sources and effects of these things. And it reads, "Are you concerned about pesticide residue in your foods? Do you hope to make informed choices when you're shopping?" This organization has investigated and compiled an up-to-date list of the dirtiest fruits and vegetables most likely to contain cocktails of multiple pesticides. The best option is always to buy organic or pesticide-free. That's not always possible, so this list can help you figure out which one has the most residues on it. So the UK government tests roughly 3,000 kilograms of food for pesticide residues each year. And once the results are published, PAN-UK analyzes this data and makes it accessible to the general public by producing the annual Dirty Dozen. So, in short, pesticides are poisons created to kill living organisms, and they're commonly referred to as weed killers, insecticides, fungicides, etc. When food growers cultivate produce on a large scale, supply stores, it's quicker and cost-effective for them to spray these chemicals to ensure the growing season isn't impacted. But certain fruits and vegetables are also much more attractive to certain pests than others are, meaning a range of produce is likely to be more heavily sprayed than others in order to prevent them from being damaged. So in order to do so, these pesticides can leach into the foods we eat, and it's important to protect ourselves from these, otherwise we're putting these toxins into our body. They go on to stress that certain groups of people are more susceptible to the effects of pesticides, especially young children and expectant parents. Exposure to certain pesticides at critical stages in development can interfere with organs and their functions, particularly endocrine-disrupting chemicals that affect hormone systems and have been associated with learning disabilities, attention deficit disorder, and brain development problems. And then they also talk about the cocktail effect. The government sets safety limits for just one pesticide at a time, ignoring the growing body of evidence that chemicals can become more harmful when combined. So this is a phenomenon they're calling the cocktail effect. Synergistic toxicity is the technical term. And this not only ignores the potential risks to human health associated with pesticide mixtures found on one item, but also those found in one dish, such as a salad, let alone an entire day's worth of food. Unlike the U.S., this U.K. organization does not produce a Clean 15 list of foods with lower exposure because they believe that the government testing program is so limited they don't want to give the impression that certain fruits and vegetables are free from pesticide residue and show no potential harm to human health or the environment when such contamination is still likely. So in the U.S., we have the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15. In the U.K., they only have the Dirty Dozen because they want people to know that even the others, you still need to rinse your food. But basically, that's what it comes down to. What does all this mean? What are we supposed to do with this information? Well, the main thing is to clean your fruits and vegetables before you eat them. But, you know, time is limited. Not everyone's going to remember to clean everything they eat before they eat it. And sometimes it's, you know, maybe not as important. So the ones that are most important to rinse thoroughly are in the typical Dirty Dozen list, which changes from year to year because these are based on direct testing of food that ends up in stores. And so the different spraying techniques and the seasons, the growing seasons, the weather, the amount of pesticides that are put on chemicals is not exactly the same in all places at all times. It varies. So the list of the Dirty Dozen changes each year. But the ones that appear at the top of the list every year recurringly are strawberries, peaches, grapes, nectarines, cherries, apples, cucumbers, tomatoes, apricots. Notice these are all fruits with thin skins. Also lettuce, celery, peppers, pears, and potatoes. These are the most important fruits and vegetables to thoroughly clean before consuming. So strawberries, peaches, grapes, nectarines, cherries, apples, cucumbers, tomatoes, apricots, lettuce, celery, peppers, pears, and potatoes. That's a little bit more than a dozen. And you can, anytime if you forget, you want to refer to this again, just Google an image search for the Dirty Dozen, and you'll see a picture listing these various lists that are tested for every year. So in the U.S., the Environmental Working Group also lists the Clean 15. And this is probably a good idea, if especially if you know you're not rinsing all of your fruits and vegetables and you want to know the ones that are maybe less important to do so. And they are. The Clean 15 always includes things like avocados, pineapple, sweet peas, asparagus, papayas, eggplant, grapefruit, cauliflower, sweet corn, cabbage, onions, mangoes, kiwi, cantaloupe, and honeydew melons, broccoli, and mushrooms. So these are foods that are less important to thoroughly rinse before consuming because they're more resistant to pests on their own. So the growers don't spray as many pesticides on them. Another common question I get is what's the best way to wash the fruits and vegetables? So you should. This is from the National Pesticide Information Center at Oregon State University. They recommend washing fruits and vegetables, even if you don't plan to eat the skin. Wash your hands with soap and warm water before and after handling the fresh fruits and vegetables, and then hold the fruit under flowing water or in a strainer. So this is important. A lot of people think, oh, I need to soak fruits and vegetables to dissolve those things and get them up. They're actually really easy to rinse off. And the important thing is you want to rinse them off so that stuff that you're rinsing off will go down the drain and you get it out of there. Soaking is actually not a good idea. You don't need to soak them to get the loosen the stuff from the surface. It's better to use a colander for berries or anything that'll fit. That's, you know, not a big chunk of like a big cauliflower or broccoli. It's easy just to hold it. Smaller things, put in a colander to strain them. But the point is the best way is just to hold them under running water to rinse the things off. You do not need to, and it's not recommended to wash fruits and vegetables with soap or detergents or commercial produce washes or baking soda, any of these things. Especially soap, because soap can actually leave a film and cause some of the things to stick to the get stuck in the film, and you're not rinsing it off. It's just making it adhere more. So these things are actually, they test this in the lab. They test these various washing methods, and the jury is in. The easiest way is just to hold it under running water and rinse it off. Some things, like with a thicker skin, like melons and potatoes, it's okay to clean with it, or if they have a lot of dirt on them, especially with a little brush, scrubbing the firm fruits can help get more of the residues off. And things that are softer, like grapes or some of the things that are you don't want to use a brush but feel sticky, or if you still suspect that you're not getting it all off just by rinsing, you can rub them while holding them underwater. And the fragile things like berries, put them in a colander. So you can also discard the outer leaves of leafy produce like lettuce and cabbage, and peel things that can be peeled, like peaches or apples. Of course, it's better to rinse them because there's lots of nutrients just in the skin and just beneath the skin. Heating can help get rid of residues from some things, but you might be getting rid of some nutrients as well. And there's no method of washing produce that is 100% effective for removing all pesticides residues. So that's why it's important to just keep that in mind as a general context. We're all exposed to these things, and it's not something that you'll want to waste time worrying about. It's just something to be aware of and do something about. So just know that you're going to be exposed to small amounts of these no matter what you do. And the best thing for that is to eat the healthy fruits and vegetables, because the nutrients, especially the minerals in healthy vegetables, are among the things that your body uses to flush out toxins that you're inevitably exposed to. Fruits and vegetables in our own gardens in Southern California are periodically and currently coated with a fine coating of ash from aerial wildfires. So, you know, get tested, and just remember that we all need to do something to help flush this stuff out ongoingly. So I was going to talk about this excellent case that I had. This man in his 60s came in with low energy and difficulty sleeping, and I did some testing and found some things that he was deficient in, and gave him some supplements to help sleep better, and he was doing great, feeling great, very happy. I told him that I suspected that based on his case history, the type of work that he had done and the places that he had lived, he was, you know, had very good reason to believe that he was exposed to a lot of toxins, and I recommended that we test heavy metal, chemical, and mold toxins, because I just knew that we were going to find a lot of them, and that would motivate him to do something about that. But, you know, he was feeling good, and he said, yeah, I want to do that sometime. I'll keep you posted. And, you know, a few months go by, he hasn't done that, but he comes back in sometime later. I forget, it might have been a year later, a few months later, and he's got this huge rash all over his back, his neck, both arms, and both hands, and it's just really, really nasty, pussy, red, pustules, oozing, slimy, painful, horrible rash. And he's been to several other doctors. He's been taking cortisol, steroids, creams, everything his dermatologist can give him. Nothing's helping it. And he's really, really upset. And I said, well, you know, your skin is an organ of elimination. Your skin, sweat glands, your hair follicles help flush out toxins. And so sweating is something that anybody can do, sometimes often even for free, to help your body slowly flush out toxins that you're exposed to. But anyway, he really needed some help. And so I said, well, we need to do that testing that I was talking about before. And we did. We tested it, and he had high mold toxins, high chemical toxins, and high heavy metals. It just all kinds of stuff from exposures from the type of work that he was doing mainly, but also just the area of the country that he lived in was noted for exposure. So anyway, I put him on some nutrients, modified citrus pectin, chlorella for heavy metals, some other specific nutrients based on his testing. And I told him it's going to take a while. It took about 6 months to really make a huge difference. And he was really upset because he came back about three or four months later and his rash was, you know, only slightly better. I said, I told you it's going to take 4 to 6 months, whatever it was. And, but then when he came back after that, that period of time, his rash was completely gone. After all kinds of cortisone creams, no other doctors could help him, just doing the healthy thing, flushing out the toxins that his body was trying to flush out through his skin. I removed them, and that was a couple of years ago. He moved out of state, and I spoke to him a few weeks ago, and he's still doing great. As always, thank you for tuning in. We are out of time. Have a fabulous weekend. Send in your questions to Dr. Brinkley at BrinkleyHealingCenter.com. I look forward to speaking with you right here next Friday at 2 p.m. See you then.
You've been listening to Safe, Effective, Natural Solutions with Dr. Todd Binkley. If you have a health question you want discussed on the show, email your health questions to Dr. Binkley at BinkleyHealingCenter.com. Take advantage of this opportunity to ask questions for yourself and for your loved ones, because our health matters. Join him next Friday at 2 p.m. for Safe, Effective Natural Solutions here on 98.3 FM, The Word.